We want to turn to the word of the Lord this morning, God's message for us, and the sword of the Lord. So if you're familiar with the Bible, then you're already familiar with that phrase, and you already know that this comes from the story of Gideon in the Old Testament. Gideon, this is in Judges 6, 7, and 8, but we're just going to look at chapter 6 and 7 this morning from the book of Judges, the most weird and wonderful book in the Bible. I mean, really, it's weird, but wonderful things as well. And as we look at this, so last week we talked about identity and calling, and we didn't get as far as Gideon. We looked at Moses as our example. So I just want to remind you of the framework, okay? So as we talk about identity and calling, identity is who you are in God, right? This is who we are in God. This includes your shared identity with other people who are children of God, who are part of the family of God. So there are things in our identity as God's children where we are similar. We're just the same. We have God's, when we're reborn, when we are born again, the Holy Spirit puts in us the life of God. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And we have God's DNA, spiritual DNA. And so in that, you and I are, we share an identity. But beyond that, there are other parts of us, our identity in God, that are unique because God has made each one of us unique. When we look at the world around us, at God's creation, the natural creation, right? We see all of this wonderful, incredible variety. Look at all the weird and wonderful animals in the world, the fish, you name it, the different types of the constellations, all of these things. And all of these things show the creativity of God. It's God's creation, but it's individual. If God would do that for inanimate, if God would do that for the world around us, how much more would God do that for you and for me in making us, in our identity? And so we began looking at that. So that's part of it. And then we also looked at calling, which sounds very big. It sounds like, oh, you might say, oh, Pastor Jennifer, you are called to be a pastor. And that's true. But when we talk about calling, what I also mean is the parts of our lives and the things of our lives, the good work that God has for you to do, the way that He has made you who you are, and then has things for you to do in your area of influence. If you're cooking, if you're a chef, if you're playing rugby, all of these areas, each one of us, the good things that God has called us to do, and we know that, and the two go together. This has been one of our theme verses for the last few months, right? From Ephesians 2:10, okay? For we are God's workmanship. So, and that has to do with not roughly made, but intricately, beautifully, creatively made, individually made, created in Christ Jesus. The only way we can be made new is in Christ Jesus. People can talk about, well, I'm a self-made person. I'm a self-made man. But unless we are made in Christ Jesus, we will not have the life of God in us. And so created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I was thinking about this, and last week I introduced Moses and Gideon. We didn't get to Gideon, but these two larger-than-life examples in the Old Testament, there are New Testament examples also. Joseph is another example of this. David is another example. There are others. And the examples are big, right? They're really larger than life. And it might be easy for you and for me to say, well, I'm not like that. I'm not like Moses. Well, I'm certainly not. Look at Joseph. I mean, he saved, look at all the people he saved in Egypt, and then preserved the seed from which our Savior would come one day. I'm not like that. But if we think that, we miss the point. We miss the point of the example. God gives us these big examples so that you and I can see this is how God works with people. This is how God works with you, and this is how God works with me. So that's why we're looking at these examples. I don't want to go back and re-preach last week's. We're going to look at Gideon this morning. So if you say, well, yeah, but what about Moses? You go back and listen to last week's. It's online. But as we look at this morning, I want to remind you of one thing, something, and you've heard me talk about this before. As we look at these Old Testament characters, I want to remind you of the beginning, right? So we're talking about identity, we're talking about calling, but then we also talked about the presence of the Lord, because in the presence of the Lord, we understand who we are, and we understand this is how God has made me. We understand, oh, these are the good things that God calls me to do. These are the things that God has for me. And that comes in the presence of the Lord. So think for just a minute at the very beginning in Genesis when God created man. Yeah? So I don't have any scriptures for that, but I want you to think of that. So what does it say? You know Genesis so well. God made man in his image, right? God made man in his image. So there's identity, yeah? God made man like himself. But not only that, remember what God says to Adam and Eve when he puts them in the garden? He tells them, now I want you to do this, I want you to be fruitful, I want you to whatever. God gave them responsibilities. God gave them good works to do. Not only that, God had fellowship with them, and he had fellowship, they had fellowship with him. He would walk with them, and there was no separation. And so you have calling, you have identity, you have presence, right? In the beginning. So that was God's purpose. Okay, then sin happens. Everything gets messed up. Everything is broken. Everything is broken. But sin cannot change God and his plans. Brokenness cannot mess up what God wants to do. And so God started over. God started working again with man, with men and women who were now messed up, broken. And God had a long-term plan because he was going to bring Jesus. And then because of Jesus, the Holy Spirit was going to come back in and live in man, in men and women again. So that's the long-term plan, right? God keeps working. His purposes for you and for me, for men and women, have never changed. Calling, identity, presence, right? So when we look at Moses, when we look at Gideon, when we look at us, God's plan, God's goals, let me put it that way, God's goals are still the same for your life and for my life, right? That was a little pitiful, but right, that's true. So this morning, we're going to look at Gideon. For some of he's one of our, so I'm going to skip over all the things that I had, but I'm waiting for the screen to come up. Okay, there we go. So that's Moses. God appears to him, and he says, go, I'm sending you. And then God says, I will, and Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? His identity isn't clear anymore. And when we're apart from the Lord, when we haven't spent time with the Lord, it's easy to kind of lose who we are, right? And Moses, who am I? Who am I to go? And God's answer is, I will be with you. I will be with you. And that's God's answer to you and to me still today. I want to remind you of this. I skipped over it last week in Psalm 36, verse 9. It's just part of Psalm 36. In Psalm 36, 9, the psalmist writes, in your light, we see light. Isn't that beautiful? In your light, we see light. When you and I spend time with God, when you in worship, as we have done this morning, But please don't let this morning corporate worship be the only time you spend with God this week. Don't let it be the only time. You must have more time with God. I must have more time with God, because in His light, in His presence, I also see light. When there's light, oh, I understand. When there's light, oh, okay, I have illumination. In His light, I have revelation of things. And so this is one of our themes also. In your light, we see light, in the presence of God. So let's move forward to Gideon this morning. Gideon is quite different from Moses. Moses, although he was Hebrew, actually was almost born into a great privilege, right? Because he was raised in the court of Pharaoh. He was raised as by Pharaoh's daughter. He may have been destined for the throne of Egypt. We don't know exactly. Some things are not clear to us. Some say yes. Some say, well, maybe not because of this. But he was trained. Acts 7 tells us he was trained in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians, all of the knowledge of the Egyptians. Moses had everything going for him in his early life. Gideon, on the other hand, is very different from Moses. Gideon is living in a, personally, is living under great oppression because the enemies of God's people, the Midianites, had come in. They were oppressed. They didn't have a standing army. They didn't have weapons to defend themselves. The enemy would come in and take all of their land, would take all of their fruit, would take all of their crops, and they were powerless. And Gideon was part of this. Nevertheless, God, as we're going to see, is going to call Gideon to do something great for His people in the same way that He did with Moses, right? So that's where the two, they're very similar. Okay, so let's start with Gideon. We meet Gideon in Judges chapter 6. Ready? Okay. I as we're going to look at this morning, the story of Gideon is kind of funny, I think. It really is. I think the Lord was laughing a little bit as He inspired this story to be recorded. So, Judges 6, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, so that's the clan, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Okay, notice something here if you haven't before. So the angel of the Lord comes and he sits down. He's a human form. Who is the angel of the Lord? Is this Gabriel or is this Michael the archangel? Is that who this is? He's one of the great angels? Yes or no? No. Okay. In the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is the Lord. Okay. The Lord. And there's some people say, well, it's Jesus before He walked on the earth. It may be, or anyhow, it's, let's just say God, okay? It's God. It's the Lord. And so He comes and He sits down, but I want you to see something. And this is going to be significant in just a minute. He's sitting there and Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press because he's hiding. He's scared and he's trying to protect his resources. So the angel of the Lord is there. Gideon doesn't know it. Guess what that should tell you and me? The Lord is here. The Lord is with you. The Lord is where you are in your difficulty. You may not know it. You may not be aware of it, right? Yeah. Okay. How can I say that? Look at verse 12. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. So he's there already. And then, boom, he appears to Gideon. And he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Okay? So the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And I think Gideon must have thought, who are you talking to? Because remember, Gideon is a farmer, and he's hiding in a wine press, and he's threshing out wheat. And the angel of the Lord, sorry, I want to stop. It is the angel. The Lord looks at him and says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. So here we have presence. The Lord is with you. And we have identity. Do you see that? God looks at Gideon and He sees in Gideon what Gideon does not yet see in himself. Mm-hmm. God looks at you, wherever you are, in your relationship to God this morning. You may be living fearfully, under oppression, grinding out, threshing wheat in whatever. Nevertheless, God looks at you and sees in you things that you may not yet see in yourself. That should encourage you right now. He sees what you don't see. We look at ourselves. We look at our circumstances. We look at our surroundings, and we allow our situation and our circumstances and our surroundings to press us in and define us. I am this. I am that. I am so on. God never considers our circumstances and surroundings when he's talking about our identity. He looks at who we are in him. He looks at what he has put in us. He looks at what he can do in you and through you in partnership with him. Because God never does it by himself, and you can't do it by yourself. It's always a partnership, right? It's always a partnership. And so so he pretty much says that. The Lord's with you, mighty warrior. Now, Gideon's not buying it, right? He's not, because Gideon replies, ha, 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 but sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? So I'm kind of laughing at Flora now. I was thinking of Flora, because Flora, for the last 6 months, as she said, has been shouting at God. Things have been tough, have been tough in her home. And there's still things to work out. God, God, this. Do you know what, Flora? That's what Gideon was doing. Really, right? Take a look at it. Gideon says, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? What about this? And what about this? And what about this? And the Lord has abandoned us. Have you ever felt that the Lord has abandoned you? Because things are tough? The victory's not yet there? You're in good company. You're in Gideon's company this morning. But God has a plan for all the Gideons. Amen? And so God speaks to him. And he says, look at what comes next. So we're going to just kind of go through. I'm not going to read everything because I'm looking at the time. And I want us to get all the way through to the end of Gideon this morning. But I want us to get it this morning. So the scripture's up here. If I don't read it, you can read. Okay? And the Lord, look what it says. It says, the Lord turned to him. If you look at specific other translations, this phrase is very specific. The Lord turned to him. It's like he was looking here, then he looks here. That's not really what it means. What it means very specifically is this. The Lord looked at him. It's a gaze. It's a piercing. It's a purposeful look. The Lord looked at him. Okay? Not just a glance. Not just casual. God has a purpose in this. Yeah? God has a purpose. And he says, go in the Lord said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? So here's God's calling. And he says something strange because he says, go in the strength that you have. Now, we've talked about Gideon in the last few months. I know. But we're back at Gideon again. And look at what God says, because what God says to Gideon, God says to us. God does not say, now wait, I'm going to increase your strength. Now, just hold on, and I'm going to bring all the resources you need. Now, okay, I'm going to give you the whole battle plan, and you're going to do this. God does none of those things as he pushes Gideon into the good works he has planned for him to do. What he says is, the way you are right now, what you are right now, who you are right now, go. Go and do it right now. Don't wait. Some of us are waiting until we get everything worked out. Some of us are waiting until, oh, when God does this, 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 and this. Some of us are saying, well, when all of this is worked out in my life, then I can do what God has called me to do. When all of this is, and then I can serve the Lord. If you are waiting for that, you will wait the rest of your life. God says, go in the strength that you have. Start now. God is not looking for perfect Christians. God is looking for willing Christians. Willing. Remember what made God kind of mad with Moses last week? Oh, God, well, I can't speak. Well, God, I'm this. God, I'm this. And God says, okay, don't worry. I'll. And then finally, remember, Moses says, God, send somebody else. And then God gets mad at Moses. Why? Moses just wasn't, he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. So here we see Gideon. And so God says, I'm sending you. Gideon's still looking at his circumstances, and he says, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest. It's the Abiezrites, okay? It's the weakest in Manasseh. And by the way, Manasseh, the tribe of Manasseh here, it's only a half tribe. It's not even a whole tribe. It's a half tribe, okay? And I'm the least in my family. So, I mean, he's like way down the totem pole. He's way down at the bottom of the ladder. A little bit like, ding, 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 David. A little bit like David, the youngest, who was out, right? He was the shepherd, taking care of the sheep because he was so young. God is not looking for perfect people. God is looking for willing people. Amen? That's right. God's looking for willing people. Look at what the Lord says. He doesn't answer all of his questions. Here is God's solution, and here's God's solution for you and for me. The Lord answered, I will be with you. That's his solution. It is. So this morning, if you don't get anything else, but you're going to get more this morning, but if you don't get anything else, may I tell you what the Lord's solution is in your life? I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. Go with who you are. Go with what you are. Go with the nothing that you have. I am with you. And when I'm with you, you will strike down the Midianites. Amen. Right? So now let's go forward a little bit. And so he's sitting under the tree. He's watching Gideon working in hiding. He shows himself. Gideon does not understand that this is God himself, the angel of the Lord, but he does understand he's a representative of the Lord, right? He's bringing the message of God to him. And so then at that point, here's the humorous part, okay? Gideon, we're not going to look at the scripture, look in your own Bibles. Gideon says, wait, if I've really found favor with the Lord, would you wait here for me? I'm going to go get something for you. I'm going to bring it back to you. And the angel of the Lord says, okay, I'll wait. How long do you think he waited? No 7-Eleven, no store around the corner. In those days, if you brought a gift to someone, it would be the gift of a meal. It would be the gift of a meal. Gideon goes back. He gets a goat from his herd. That would be common. He slays the goat. He prepares the goat. He boils the goat. He bakes some bread, okay? And then he brings the meat, the broth, and bread back to this person who has come with a message from God. And the angel of the Lord says, put it on here, put it on this rock. And then he tells him something weird. He says, take the broth, pour it all over the bread. Yuck. But do that, okay? Because the angel of the Lord has a purpose. I mean, I would rather have my bread and dip it in the meat, wouldn't you? I think that's what I'd prefer. But that's not what the angel of the Lord says. Because the angel of the Lord's going to do something. So he does that, and the angel of the Lord takes his staff. You know what happens next, right? He touches it, and poof, fire comes up and consumes everything. When that happens, what does Gideon say? This is the part that I think is humorous. Okay, there it is. Sorry, I did give it to you after all. So he does what the Lord, angel of the Lord said to do. Fire comes from the rock, consumes it, and then what happens? Boom, he's gone. Angel of the Lord, God's gone. Poof. Okay? Poor Gideon. Gideon realizes it wasn't a representative of God. It was God. So to put it in modern terms, look at this. Do you know what Gideon says? I'm going to die. That's what he says. Okay, that's what it means, right? He says, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. I'm going to die. Now, this is significant. You say, Pastor Jane, you're just making it funny. I'm trying to, but this is true. I told you how this story began. Angel under the tree. Gideon didn't know that he was there. Then he appears. End of the story. What happens? I'm going to die. What happens next? But the Lord said to him, Boo. Still here. Still here. You're not going to die. Peace. You're not going to die. Here's the significance for you and for me. Truly, I really do mean this. I've emphasized humor, although nobody laughed. I think it's kind of funny. I emphasize that because this is so you and me. We think we're on our own. We moan, we this, we that, oh. And guess what? God is there all the time. He's always there. He's always there. You may not be aware of it because Gideon doesn't think God is there anymore, right? I'm going to die. And God says, still here. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. And then the story goes on. So God is there just as he is there with Gideon. As God is with Gideon, so God is with you. So what happens next? And let's get to the end of the story. We already know that Gideon is going to be successful. But here is where we see ourselves this morning, because Gideon remains fearful and uncertain all the way through this story. Did you know that? Have you ever thought that for God to really use you, you will completely get over your fear of things? You will be completely confident. You will have full assurance. I can do it. Yeah, I've got this. God has spoken. We think that, right? Then God's really with me because I can feel this. I want you to see that Gideon does not come to that point until 15 minutes before the battle. No joke, 15 minutes before the battle. Because what happens next? After that, then Gideon says, God, now I believe you. God says, go get rid of the altars. Go get rid of Baal. Go get rid of Asherah. Do all of those things. Gideon goes to do it, but you know what he does? He does it at night because he's scared of people. So he's still scared. And then he says, okay, God, I'm going to do what you've said to do. But God, can I get reassurance from you? Would you let dew fall on the fleece, but not on the ground? God does that. And then he says, okay, God, please don't be mad, but would you make dew fall on the ground and not on the fleece? And God does that also. What I want you to see is this. His faith is a little bit weak. His confidence is a little bit shaky, but he is not unwilling. Gideon is going to do what God calls him to do. Now, he's a little bit this way and a little bit that way, but his heart is willing. You give God a willing heart. You may not have everything perfectly done in your life. You may at times waver, but if you give God a willing heart, God, I will do it. God, I will go where you tell me to go. I will do what you tell me to do. I will say what you tell me to say, but Lord, I'm a little bit scared. God will not get upset about that. God never gets mad at Gideon. God never scolds Gideon one time. God never says, oh, come on, Gideon. I made the fire out of the rock. What's wrong with you? Have a little gumption. Have a little confidence. He never says that. He never does that. He just keeps reassuring him. He keeps reassuring him. And then they're getting ready to fight. Okay, here we go. So they've gathered. We're getting near the end now. They've gathered. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He blew the trumpet. He summons his clan to follow him. But you know what? He's still a little bit afraid, right? Okay. He gathers people, and I want you to see this. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. You have too many men. Anyone who trembles with fear may turn back. 22,000 leave. 10,000 remain. And then God says, look at it. God says, you still have too many men. We're going to have to reduce this. God reduces Gideon to the point where he can finally work with him. Sometimes you and I God brings us down. We feel it's the devil. I'm being reduced. I'm being cut. I'm being limited. My resources, I don't have this, and I don't have that. And rather than it being the enemy, it is the Lord in your life to bring you to the point where he can finally do something with you. That's what God is doing. God did it for Gideon. God does it for you. And if God is reducing you to almost nothing, let him do it. Let him do it. It may be different. It will look different with you than it looks with Gideon. Sometimes it may be through sickness or weakness. God does not send sickness or weakness, but God can use it. And God brings you down so that he can do something through you and with you. Amen? Amen. And then that very night, so there are only 300 men, and God says to Gideon, okay, 300 men, let them go. Now it's time to fight. The very night. And the Lord says to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it to your hands. Okay, here we go. I want you to look at verse 10. Please look at verse 10. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp and listen to what they're saying, and afterwards you'll be encouraged. Do you see this? So Gideon goes down to the camp. I want you to see this is just before the battle. Just before the battle. And Gideon is still afraid. Is he afraid or is he not afraid? He's still afraid, right? Because God said, now if you're afraid, go listen. And Gideon is afraid. So he goes down to the camp to listen. And then he hears, and I want you to see that, because this is the type of person God uses. This is the type, brothers and sisters, God is so patient with you. He is so patient with you. He's so merciful. He's so gracious. He's so long-suffering to you and to me. And he says, I'm going to work with you. You see, here's the thing. God's not reluctant to work with you. God wants to work with you. He wants to work with you. He's not saying, well, let me go find somebody else. God wants to work with you. God wants to partner with you. And so Gideon goes down, and as he arrives, it's the middle of the night, he hears these two Midianite soldiers with a dream. Here's a funny part, I think. And the guy says, I had a dream. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the camp, struck the tent. The tent overturned. I think this is funny. And the friend immediately said, oh, it's the sword of Gideon. I should have gotten a little pita bread to illustrate, but I didn't have time this morning. It's a piece of bread. Barley bread was small. It's not pita. Barley bread, it was a loaf. It would have been about this big. And barley bread was for poor people. It was poor person's food. Have you ever eaten poor person's food before? Yeah. Yeah. If you haven't, you don't know what you're missing. It teaches you to appreciate rich food. It's small, it's pitiful, but it knocks over a tent. Is there a lesson there for you and for me in this dream? I know dreams are weird. God uses what is small and nothing and pitiful to do something big. That small barley loaf, poof, knocks over the tent. And Gideon hears it, and now Gideon's not afraid. This is literally minutes before the battle. Here we come. We're coming to the last few phrases here. And he calls them. He says, get up. The Lord has given the camp, the Midianite camp, into your hands. And we know this strange battle plan, right? And I want you to see this. Do they have any swords? Yes or no? Verse 16. Are there any swords in this army? That's right. What did I title this sermon? The sword of the Lord, right? The sword of the Lord. There are no swords. And Gideon says, watch me and do the same. When I do this, you do this. Here's the thing, brothers and sisters. As you step out and you do what God calls you to do, guess what? Guess what? Other people around you are going to see what you're doing, and they're going to do it too. Let me give you an example. Eileen this morning, her testimony about how she stood through this with the cancer, the multiple myeloma, and fighting the fight of faith, and other examples as well. Guess what's going to happen when you face a health scare or a health something like that? What are you going to do? You're going to look at what Eileen did. You're going to hear what Eileen said, and you are going to be encouraged to do what Eileen did. Yes or no? Yes. Brother Roy has given his testimony before for himself, and then also for Stephen as we're praying. When you and I face similar things, what are we going to do? We're going to see what they have done, and we're going to do the same. I see someone that the Lord is leading in faith. I see someone that the Lord is leading, going into battle against a great enemy. But rather than shrinking back and saying, I can't do it, this is too much for me, this person says, I will go forth in faith. I will do it. I will speak. I will say. I will stand. I will do all of these things. And when you and I see that in others, we do it too. And when you do this in others, in the Lord, in the strength of the Lord, he says, I'll be with you. You'll do it in my strength. When you do that, you will lead other people in faith. You will lead other people in victory. You will lead other people in freedom. You will lead other people in deliverance. Because here's the thing. Gideon himself was oppressed. Gideon himself was under the heel of the Midianites. Gideon himself was afraid. Gideon himself had his food stolen by the Midianites. We all face that. We are like that as well. But when God leads us and he says, I'm going to do this with you. I'm going to be with you. Go in the strength you have. I'm with you. As you move out in the calling of the Lord, as you move out into the things that God has for you to do, other people will be set free, and you too will be set free. You too will be delivered. You too will be strengthened. That's what happens. That's one of the stories. That's one of the highlights. That's one of the highlights, and we see it here. The Israelites, they take their position. I think That's the last verse. Those are the last passages, okay? So get a deep breath, and let's close with here. They blow the trumpets, and they cried out. Now, by the way, what were they supposed to cry out? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Where was the sword? They had no swords. They had trumpets. They had pots, clay pots, and they had torches. Where was the sword of the Lord? Where were their swords to fight this battle? It was in the Lord's hands. And then they cry out, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they go into it. The army begins fleeing. And I love this. Look at how the army flees. They cried out as they ran. Where's the sword of the Lord? The sword of the Lord. It's in the Lord's hands. And Gideon himself. This is what I love. Do you know who the sword of the Lord was in this situation? Gideon was the sword of the Lord. Gideon was the sword of the Lord. It wasn't just now we're going to do this. Gideon himself was the sword of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord, the freedom of the Lord, the deliverance of the Lord. God calls you and me. It's the sword of the Lord and of Beatrice. Beatrice is looking at me like, I'm not sure about that. It's in the Bible. Me, if it's in the Bible, I believe it. The sword of the Lord and Eleanor. Eleanor says, yeah. The sword of the Lord, the sword of Eleanor. In the Lord's hands. In the Lord's hands. At some point along the way, as Gideon walks in obedience, he's willing. He's scared. He doesn't have a lot of resources, but the Lord is with him. At some point along the way, God transforms him into the person he saw in the beginning. Mighty warrior. He does the same for you and for me. Gideon is not a weirdo. Gideon is not a one-off. Gideon is not, that was then and it's different now. Gideon, he's you and me. And God works with us in the same way now as he did then. Amen. Let's pray. Well, did you receive that?
Yes.
Do you take that to heart?
Yes.
Will you do it?
Yes.
Okay. I'm the same way.
Yes.
Lord, this morning, we receive your word spoken into our lives and into our hearts. God, we feel a lot like Gideon. We have plenty of excuses because we look at our circumstances, our weakness, our failings, our shortcomings, our timidity, or all of these things. But Lord, as we spend time with you, we know and we want to hear what you say about us, what you see in us. We want to do what you've called us to do. Lord, we want to be what you've called us to be. Oh, God, forgive us for waiting until everything's better. Lord, help us not to wait until we got everything worked out and we have all the strength and the resources we need. God, help Lighthouse, each one of us, to go in the strength of what we have, and you will be with us. And others will walk in freedom as we too walk in freedom. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Have a good week. Don't forget this message. Go out. Go in the strength that you have. Amen. Amen. God bless.